We're partnering with the Persecution Project Foundation right now to help embattled Christians that are being attacked for their faith in the Sudan. Go to ChristmasAirlift.com right now and give whatever you can to help these dear families in the Sudan. ChristmasAirlift.com.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Running with Horses, a podcast devoted to inspire you concerning a relationship with Almighty God that empowers you to accomplish things you never thought possible. Shirley Weaver wants to take you there. And now, here's today's episode.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here today because we are talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. And you know, these, every category is an intervention from the Lord, a supernatural intervention in your life. And even in the lives of people who are undeserving. So just because you do not feel you deserve God to intervene in your life, that does not disqualify you. You do not feel that your situation is deserving. You are not disqualified. And today we're going to break down the meaning of each word in order to emphasize the importance of the promptings that you are feeling in your heart. And even an unexpected, out of the blue possibility that's being presented to you right now, you might be neglecting or discarding it altogether. Sometimes the reason is that these are things, this prompting, this leading, it's something you wouldn't choose, something that you wouldn't think was even right, but suddenly you're beginning to feel this is very right. Yesterday, it didn't even occur to you. Where did this prompting come from? Why am I feeling so strongly in my heart that something is right when just hours ago I wasn't even thinking about it? This may be a sign to you. This is something you need to pay attention to because God is sending signs to his people like an arrow pointing you, nudging you into a specific or a certain direction. Listen, welcome. This is the Running with Horses podcast. Love, signs, wonders, and miracles. Always learning more of the Bible truth about how real these are in the lives of God's people. Not just you, not just me, not just your family, not just today, throughout the generations, God has given signs, wonders, and miracles to his people. Let's break it down because they're a little different. All divine interventions from the Lord, but some difference here. A miracle, get this, is a supernatural outcome. It's the miraculous. I think sometimes we lump everything into miracles. We say, I need a miracle, or that was a miracle. But a miracle can only be explained as an involvement by God. It's something that occurs medically, in relationships, in financial outcomes, on the field of battle where there's danger or threat. And we are expecting in those situations God's presence to come and that he would give a miracle. We expect his glory to come. We expect a miracle. That's why we pray big prayers. You've heard me say, pray big prayers. You gotta pray big prayers if it's a miracle you want. You've got to believe for the impossible And don't stop believing for the impossible. God said, with man, these things are not possible. With God, all things are possible, he said, because a miracle involves the involvement of God on a level that only that involvement can bring the outcome that has occurred. Secondly, a wonder, also divinely orchestrated, humanly, this is something that is awe-inspiring, but it triggers a response. It gains attention, like the events that took place in Exodus 3, Exodus 19, Acts 7. These are supernatural things that occur and they get your attention. And once God has your attention, then there's a response. Okay, that's a wonder. A sign, which is really our subject today, is a miraculous occurrence, but in addition to being miraculous, a sign points toward a direction, like John 2:11 in the ESV. This, the first of signs that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The NIV, slightly different, quoting there, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And you might say, therefore, his disciples believed in him. So some translations use miracle in the place of the word sign and vice versa. But the Greek word, the Greek definition means, is rendered an indication, especially something ceremonial or supernatural. Look in Daniel 11, 32 through 33. At Christmas, our celebration of Jesus' birth includes the Magi. These were wise men from the east who were led by a star and warned in a dream. In the same way today, the Lord fills you with his Spirit and he gives you wisdom to interpret the signs that he puts on your path. This would include dreams that he gives you in the night. Daniel said this in chapter 11, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action, and the wise among the people shall make many understand. See, God intends for you to be able to recognize when he puts up a sign in your path. He's prompting you. He's getting your attention, and he's turning you from, if you're going one way, it might be the very opposite way, or it might be a slight recalculation in the path that you're going. And so there's a sign that comes to you like that which appeared to the Magi, who were looking for, had seen the star of the baby Messiah who was born, and they were following that star. And where did it lead them? Like an arrow, it led them to the Christ child. There's a passage in Acts 7 that's interesting here. I'm just going to read 34 through 36, Acts 7. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, Who made you ruler and judge over us? Is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. So, of course, this is an account of what took place during the process as God led the people out of the bondage of Egypt. Under Moses' leadership, God gave signs to the people through Moses. Signs and wonders, they occurred in the land. Remember the signs that were shown to the Pharaoh. Remember what happened when the sea opened and the people were able to go across on dry land. So the Red Sea, remember what occurred in the wilderness, many signs, many things that were sent to say, you're on the right path, don't change course, keep going, keep following me, keep listening. And you know, even John the Baptist came preaching repentance with signs, wonders, and miracles. And we know that God brought his people out. It says in Deuteronomy 26, verse 8, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with many great, awesome, powerful signs and wonders. So the Bible history here, just to recap, ancient Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage really is our Bible. It's our freedom model, okay? Because God brings men out to bring them in. He brings them up to take them higher. And what they obtain as they begin at any point to journey is not the full picture at all, but rather it's the beginning of signs. Remember at the wedding at Cana of Galilee, Jesus performed his first signs. It was the water pots. The pots were filled with water. He turned them into signs. He turned them into wine. It was a sign. We would say that was a miracle. Well, it was miraculous, but see, it was a sign. It was a sign to say, this is the one. God was pointing to him. This is the beginning of signs. So regarding Israel, first of all, God brought them out to bring them in. Secondly, by his outstretched arm and his strength of hand. Thirdly, he caused an overthrow of their enemies, little by little, to allow time for them to secure a hold on this newfound freedom. The Lord planned greatness for Israel, but sadly, they really didn't take him up on the offer. And that's not our point today, but you know, that is in the history. So let's talk about your history. That's the Bible history. Let's talk about your history. Like Israel, your story has been planned by the Lord. It's the Lord's plan. And you started at one point. You really probably could go back and remember the sign when you began, or the signs that occurred as you began to journey with the Lord. It's part of your testimony, right? When we tell or give our testimony, we say these things. We say, and this happened, and that happened, and it got my attention, you know. And ultimately, we invite the Lord into our hearts. This is the beginning of your start, but that is not where you stay. Not at all. Like the beginning of miracles in Jesus' ministry at Cana, your experience at first is just the beginning. So don't set up camp there or get frozen there or act like that's the last time that will ever occur in your life. Listen, God has signs for you all along the way. I wouldn't say how often, but I would venture to say way more often than you realize. But you have to be sensitive. Like, you've got to be paying attention, you know? God might tell you to sell your house. You might not be thinking of selling your house, but suddenly he sends a buyer and you go, what? I wasn't even thinking of selling my house. If that happens, listen. Listen, lean in. Like, lean in and listen to the Lord. Discern anything in that example, but in everything, discern anything that began in the spirit but stopped, and you just kind of camped there. You just thought, well, here I am. I'm going to be here forever. You know, this is a safe place. People literally get frozen. I want to tell you something. If you stop and get frozen, your gifts won't operate in the greatness that they could. Your life will not be manifest God's glory in the way that he intended. You do not want to stay where you began. That was the beginning of your journey. Instead, declare oneness. You want to identify with God's direction and his pace. And you got to do this. You got to promise me you'll do this. Don't be shallow. Don't be silly. You know, this is the God that lives in the heavens. He rides the clouds. The eagles are up there with him. So don't stay in a shallow place. Don't think low. Praying little prayers. Pray those big prayers. And whatever you do, don't get religious on me, okay? Don't get comfortable in your padded seat religion that is absent of passion. Because passion is the catalyst for change. And if you're like me, you need a lot of change. You need some time, a little bump. Not a little bump. You might need a bigger bump, a big nudge. You want to choose the heights of the Lord and align with his pace. Because, hey, it's in your DNA. That's the way he made you. And I want to tell you, your deliverance examples come right out of God's word. Take, for example, Esther. Her name was Hadassah, right? Esther, Hebrew Hadassah. And your deliverance pattern, your deliverance example is Moshe, Moses, Hebrew Moshe. You want to identify with them. You want to imitate them. You want to lead your family. You want to deliver your family out of bondage. You want to lead your neighborhood and your town and your nation out. You want to be like Moses and Esther. You want to be deliverance. You want to follow the signs that God is sending you. And those things that you would not have considered yesterday, you were not even thinking about, you might need to wake up. God may be speaking a sign to you. You want to choose God's way. You want to choose his wisdom, his spirit, his pace, and his placement for you. So let's pray that right now. Father, in Jesus' name, today I release my faith that in my life, as you send your supernatural nudging and prompting, that you are changing me slightly in the direction that you're taking me, and that if I am going one way and you have a course change for me, that you are able to communicate that to me, and I hear you clearly because I discern your spirit, and because I am listening, I choose your way, your path. God, I choose your wisdom by your Spirit. I want your pace. So quicken my pace. And God, most of all, your placement where you have determined to plant me, to place me. I choose it. I choose it in Jesus' name. And I thank God for it. Listen, you are led of the Spirit. He has signs, wonders, and miracles for you. But don't forget the signs. I know you're praying for the miraculous. Don't forget the signs. They are miraculous, but they are pointers. They're sending you in a direction because God's got something for you. Don't you dare miss it. Promise me you won't, because we have the mind of Christ. That means we think just like Him.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to check out the show notes or visit acleartrumpet.org where you can subscribe to Shirley's email list, download the ministry app, and purchase your very own copy of Shirley's 365-day devotional, Running with Horses. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.